Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It feels so good to be back, BT. Happy New Year. Man, it feels like we haven't done a show in forever.
Oh, my God. We got to chip away the rust. It is great to be back. Listen, I don't know about you, although I do. There's only so much sitting around I can do before I get back to work, man.
It's like I'm working, I want off, and then I'm off, and I'm like, oh my God, is this what it's like being home? Get me back to work.
I missed everybody. I missed doing the show. We got together. We'll talk about that later. I had a great dinner with Hoff and Casillas and us, obviously, and the holidays. Happy New Year's. A lot going on. Lot going on, buddy.
Yeah, and the one thing that I was thinking about, like, man, God, thank God this season, the football season, is nearing its end. Like, we've joked every week, it shouldn't be work and torture to watch the Giants and the Jets, and we'll get into the Giants in a little bit, but just starting with the Jets, BT, because think about this. Like, here we are 2 years later, nearing the end. It may be the last game in the career of Aaron Rodgers, but certainly feeling like, and I still think it's wrong, I would want him to be back. We could get into that conversation again, but it feels like it's going to be the last game, certainly as a Jet, for Aaron Rodgers. Think back to all the conversations that we've had over the course of the last couple of years. Not even just you and me, you and Tiki before me, on the overnight, whatever. And this is how it went down. Like, I honestly don't even think, even though we could predict year in, year out, like, they're not going to be that good. Like, when you actually look back at these 2 years, which Rodgers calls the best years of his life, and I understand why he would say that off the field, but these might be the two worst years for the Jet fans' life with the expectation that was and what actually happened.
These two seasons are in a file all to themselves here. Like, I understand we kind of lump in all these empty Jet seasons with, you know, the coat tights and this. But most of the empty seasons, there really wasn't much of an expectation for anything to happen. And, like, you know, and then there's other years where there's, like, modified expectations. Like, well, maybe this retread could do this. Or, you know, maybe if this happens, they could be competitive. It went from being a colossal train wreck and an absolute joke of a franchise to, wow, the Jets are, at least on paper, like the perpetual darlings of the NFL. Let's put them on eight primetime games. And, you know, the Vegas train jumping in terms of the odds where the Jets could get to the Super Bowl. It is, it's just so dispiriting, beyond dispiriting. It's like nothing's going to break you. Let me say one thing. I did tweet this the other day. And I get it. This pertains to the Giants as well. And I'm there. Not that I've never done this. Like, there's a tough game. There's a tough month. There's a tough situation. Here come the tweets. Here come the calls. I'm done. I'm never going to be a fan again. I'm not going to any more game. Nonsense. You'll be back. Whether it's the Giants picking first, second, or third, or the Jets picking fifth, sixth, or seventh, or when the Jets hired their coach and hired their new GM, everybody who's checked out, I promise you, every single one of you will be back. However, back to the point that you brought up, like, what the Jets have presented to their fans for the last 2 years will push you to the edge, unlike I think anything can possibly push you to the edge to think about leaving a team.
You know, I don't think there could be any more blind faith or hope.
No.
Like, you've tried it multiple ways. The young top pick of a quarterback, the young new head coach that looks like a badass, the retread guys, we've seen that before. You've tried multiple young quarterbacks, trading up for one, drafting whatever. You bring in the Super Bowl winning four-time MVP quarterback, like, There's no, like, you actually have to see it now before you start to get excited. I'm not saying that Jet fans want to use your word, regenerate when they hire a new head coach, whoever that may be.
We can
have one of those conversations. I'd be excited if they hired a real general manager like Dimitroff, whatever it may be. Sure, but you're actually going to have to go out there and see it, because this was the one thing that the majority of us, certainly before the week one injury 2 years ago, the majority of us believed that it was going to be different this time, at the very least, ending the playoff drought. Like, if I would have told you, you would have been like, oh, a playoff drought? What are you kidding me? Of course they're going to make the playoffs. You'd be talking Super Bowl. That's what we were.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're still sitting here and the Jets didn't even have a winning season, not even close, in 2 years with Aaron Rodgers.
I think the biggest difference here, Sal, really, this is the root of the issue, I think, with the Jets. And certainly, I think it now resonates fully within the entire Jets fan base. Now, nobody, not that anybody ever really had great faith in him, but now everybody strongly believes or straight up knows that the owner's awful. And to your point, anything that they do, which in the past would kind of suspend the reality of who the Jets were as a franchise, I think even for somebody like me, the whole unkillable thing, hey, I'm not gonna be, I'm not gonna sign up for a life of losing. Nah, I'm gonna fight through it, and I will, and I'll keep pushing forward. But that blind faith, whatever remained, and not much of it did, I think it's all evaporated. I think even the most optimistic / delusional Jet fan is now at a point where it's okay. Can you now get this done in spite of having the worst owner in football?
And the Jets, look, that's a major problem. That's not going to go anywhere. Although, you know, Diana Rossini thinks that, hey, based on the reporting, and we know all these stories, last time we were together doing the show, we had her on, whatever, talking about how maybe this exposure will now change Woody for the better. You have to hope that. But when you actually think about it in terms of this year, and you look at, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, now that the Jets are going to get set to be picking again top 10, they've had the worst year in the NFL. Like New England was expected to be bad.
Yep.
Tennessee, same thing.
Raiders,
Cleveland, Giants, like
Titans.
All these teams. All right, maybe Jacksonville's could be a little bit better, but nobody was expected to do more and has done less. Niners have had a bad year too, but a lot of injuries there. Sometimes circumstance, like with the Jets, nobody was expected to do more and has done less than the New York Jets.
Well, the crazy thing about this is not only were they supposed to be terrific and they are awful, number one, but number two, they doubled and tripled down.
Yeah,
let's trade for Reddick. Oh, let's trade for Devontae Adams. Oh, it's real. I mean, you have to laugh at this point, Sal.
I know.
You have to laugh. And once you get past the pain, you've got to come back to the place that's going to get you through, you know, the next situation. And that's really laughter, because if you don't laugh at this, I don't know what to tell anybody anymore.
Are you going to be, and I can't wait to have this conversation with you, because we have not discussed it yet with the Giants as far as their win. The one game that they win was the one game everybody wanted them to lose.
Yeah.
But with the Jets, you got a game coming up Sunday where it's Rodgers' last game.
Yep.
He's looking for one more touchdown to get him to 500. Also a game where you could officially knock Miami out, but potentially cost you in the draft. Where are you at as far as this Sunday final game of the year?
I'm okay with a win. You know, it's different than the Giants situation. I don't want to blur the two. Yeah. We'll get to the Giants later. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm not sitting there like a devout maniac lunatic like I usually do. And I really haven't been that way, you know, for a while, the last couple of, you know, last five games, whatever it's been. Now, if the Jets win, okay, if the Jets lose, which is pretty much what I expect them to do, though I do think it'll be a lot closer than the Bills game when they were down 40-0.
Yeah, I mean,
good God almighty. 40-0, Sal, 40!
Yeah, I know, I get it, but Buffalo had something to play for. They're that much better.
Yeah.
Miami's playing a backup quarterback.
Understood. And then you see the Jets coming out of the tunnel with a boom box Run DMC 1985.
What
the hell is going on?
Playing Gangsta's Paradise?
Yeah, I know. Didn't Coolio pass away?
Yeah, I think
shout out to the great Coolio. It's not what I would come out to, but I got no problem with Coolio. When I used to love the boombox back in the 80s.
Come on.
When I would play it from my sister's bedroom so we could dunk on the rim in my backyard.
You see Josh Allen in the background?
Of course. He's like, look at these tools. Yeah, he's like, we got him. Game throw before I even step on the field.
I'm surprised Rodgers allowed that. That had to be.
God almighty. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say this. I think that I would like to see Aaron Rodgers get his 500th touchdown pass. But
me too.
As much as he's going to try to whistle it into Devontae Adams, I would prefer that Garrett Wilson catches it. I think the symbolism there would be amazing. You know what I mean?
We'll move forward, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's just the culmination of football season coming to an end.
Yeah.
with both the Jets and Giants. And when you think about it with the Jets, it's really coming to an end, the Aaron Rodgers era.
Yeah.
Two
can you
years.
Hear this? Can you got to listen, though. Can you hear this?
What's that?
We're tapped out. That's every one of us. We're tapped out. Just get us to the next phase of football, please.
I can't take it anymore. Man, we get to watch some real football in the playoffs with real teams. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Ray.
Hi, fellas. Happy New Year. Listen, you want to watch some real football, watch OSU. What a game they had yesterday. But my point about the Jets is the following. Woody and the Jets sucking is just a scapegoat. What happened 25 years ago when Woody's kids weren't even born yet and they couldn't give him any advice because they weren't here to misadvise him? Here's my advice to Jet fans. Get a group of guys. Misery loves company. Watch the Jet games together. Hmm. We have a group of guys. We're the Barbarians. If I didn't have these 17, 20 guys to watch the games, I would have checked out a long time ago. It's entertainment. We have a blast. We celebrate first downs. Guys, it's
penalties.
Fumbles. I still got to go to work every Monday.
You're right, Ray.
He's got a support group, Sal.
And thank you for the call. I love the way he said that. It is just football. It's not life and death.
It's true.
But when you look for it to be an escape and you look for it to be fun, like there's no part of entertainment when you're watching the New York Jets play football from week one on.
Yep.
I mean, you could count on one hand maybe the moments that we were entertained with both the Jets and the Giants.
Yeah, that's true.
So I know what you're saying, like it's just football, and you're right, it is just football, but when you're looking for it to be an escape, the whole point is you want to be entertained, you want to have fun, and I guess getting together with your friends, win or lose, doesn't matter, you're drinking, you're eating, you're laughing, you're betting, whatever.
Yeah.
But BT, this season has been nothing but major disappointment and frustration from a Jets and Giants perspective.
That's why I said, like, this is the kind of season that will push even the most, you know, ardent, crazy, dialed in fan, you know, multi-generations to the brink of apathy. Really, I mean, it really, I get it. Now, you won't cross that bridge, as I said before. You'll say that you will. You'll threaten that you will, but you won't cross. You won't give up on football. What are you going to do on Sunday? How many times have we said, we're going to go apple picking?
Yeah, right.
Honestly, what are you going to do?
No, you're going to watch football.
You're going to watch football. And the bottom line, Sal, is when you decide to become a fan of a team, you all those years ago with the Mets and the Falcons, you don't care as much about. I get that. But the Mets and me with the Yanks, you know the teams, right? There is no guarantee that what we put into it will be equitable in terms of what we get back.
I know.
You just don't know. That is what it is.
But I will say, even with the Jets and Giants for me this year, I'm invested in the storyline. And I don't even want to watch because they aggravate me every single week.
Yep.
But yet I can't help myself on Sunday. Those are the games that I care about most, even though they don't matter.
Well, think about this. Every awful team in the history of New York football, there's got to be a storyline that we gravitate to.
Yeah.
If you're that awful, generally it's going to be, who are you going to draft? Who are you going to hire? Who are you going to fire? So, yeah, I mean, I guess what's made this a little bit more interesting, despite just a mountain of losses with these teams, is that, at least from the Jets' perspective, you know you're getting two new guys in here to run the show.
Right.
I think there's a very strong, I think it's upwards of 85% at this point. You have a new quarterback, unless it's Tyrod Taylor, but meaning new, not Aaron Rodgers. And with the Giants, there's a chance that they're going to have to wheel and deal and move up to number one. And if they don't, they still might take a quarterback. So at least the newness and the potential of freshness and change is there. And that's what keeps you going.
Yeah, I know.
I know. We have had it.
It's part of the story, but we've had that so many times with both these teams picking in the top 10, top 5, way too often over the last several years. And when you actually stop and think about it, I used to like doing this as a kid. I would read the Sports Illustrated preview or whatever, baseball magazine preview.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end of the year, go back, because they give all the predictions, right? Yeah. Like, oh, the Mets will finish last in the NL, whatever it may be. Uh-huh. They, you know, if you go back to
they usually got that one right.
Yeah. That was a bad example. But if the Mets and Yankees in the 80s, whatever. So as a kid, I would and then go back after the year. And with this Rodgers story to the Jets, like, you live in it real time, and what we said 2 years ago was certainly, you know, different from where we're feeling now, but it's fun to go back, or in this case, almost depressing to go back and think about where we were all at as a sports city, whether you hated the Jets or not. There were people rooting against Rodgers, or maybe some people didn't want that move to happen, and they proved to be right. But 2 years later, now that the end is here, to think of how awful this went. That is just, to me, it's probably the, I mean, you think about all the other sports, you can encompass everything, BT. This is one of the worst ever. Brendan Rodgers and having this happen.
You know, I love to write.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
I enjoy writing, right? If you told me to sit down 2 years ago before week one of the 2023 season, and he said, all right, have a little fun and just come up with the most devious, painful script that you could come up with from a Jets perspective. Honestly, I don't think that I could come up with something this painful. Because the Rodgers injury, obviously.
Yeah.
Then the stupidity of some of the desperation moves, like the Reddick and the Devontae Adams. Then, you know, I had no problem firing Saleh when they did. But obviously, the result of it just showed you it wasn't justified.
Well, sticking with him and then firing him 5 weeks or whatever it was after sticking with him. Like, it's just one thing after another.
All of the primetime games, like, we couldn't even hide. All of the fourth quarter meltdowns, 0-for-6 with a chance to, like, how do you make it worse than it was?
Think about where we were at with the Jets and the feel during Hard Knocks prior to Rodgers going down. All that excitement, the offseason training from Hard Knocks, running out with the flag. And then, boom.
I was at the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I remember
when they inducted Klecko and Revis. Yeah. And, I mean, I hate to say net Jets Nation, but I don't know.
Yeah,
like, that's corny.
Yeah.
Everybody says that. But, I mean, the grain, it took over. Like, it was palpable. Like, we are loose. Like, we are finally, shackles of captivity as a losing fan, they have been shed. No, they're tightened even more now.
Charlie's,
it's amazing.
Charlie's at Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charles.
Hey, BT, Sal, happy new year. Welcome back.
Really thanks.
Good to hear your voices. Moose did a great job while you were away, too. So, all good. Being a Jet fan these last 2 years will put the best part of my 50 years as a Jet fandom, and it's been the worst 2 years. We had such high expectations, and to watch Rodgers go down 4 plays into last year, and then to watch the crap that they put out on the field this year, it's tough to be a Jet fan and support them. We will be there all the time, but it is tough, and it is tough being a Jet fan. That's all I can say.
At least last year, and thank you for the call,
Charlie.
And I do think being a sports fan in general brings a lot of misery. Like, we love it; it's an escape, but it also is painful. Relative, you know, you being a sports fan, you want to see your team win. The majority of it is losing. 2 years ago, last season, at least you had the excuse from week one where you knew what happened. Like, Rodgers went down, all right, you wanted to be unkillable and believe that you could salvage the season. To me, it wasn't realistic, but at least, like, hey, we lost our quarterback, we're screwed. Unfortunately, it happens. This year is even worse because of the hope of him coming back, all the talent that people thought that they had on paper. To have it just go like this, it's
he's going to play all 17 games too, Sal.
Yeah, I know. Which is unbelievable, because we would have said if he played 17 games, you'd think at the very least they'd be fighting for a playoff spot this Sunday. Like, their game should matter, not because of Miami, because of them. Or maybe battling with Miami for a playoff spot.
They've been buried, like, standings-wise, statistically, for over a month. I mean, it's unfathomably.
I know, they've been dead
honestly
for a while.
Can't even, like, it's really hard, even though we did just verbalize 19 minutes of it, it's really, truly hard to succinctly verbalize what the Jets presented to their fans this year. Yeah. It's almost impossible.
We'll get to the Giants side of things, too. We could do that. I mean, it's the same boat. Different way to get there, but basically the same boat as it comes to an end on Sunday, mercifully. BT and Sal just coming back with you here from vacation. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll continue with your calls, 888-808-1019 on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan, continuing with your calls, 888-808-1019. Do you care about the Pro Bowl at all? I don't.
No, not one bit.
Do you care that the Jets have no Pro Bowlers?
No, I saw that, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't usually either. Hoff told me, and then I just saw some of the tweets starting to come out about that. No Pro Bowlers, as you'd expect here. I can't get into it. I've never really been a Pro Bowl guy myself. But it does just show you all the quote-unquote talent that they were supposed to have. Not one guy can make the Pro Bowl?
Well, it speaks to the regression, certainly, of Sauce. I don't want to say that Garrett Wilson regressed, but
I still think he's overrated.
Well, you know, we were talking about this at dinner the other night, right?
Yeah.
And I think that Garrett Wilson, I didn't like the way he started the season. I know that there's a big drop since Devontae Adams came. I was doing this on the podcast because Garrett Wilson came out after the last game, and there was a report from Ian Rappaport that, you know, he might want out if Aaron Rodgers is back. And obviously, you know, you've got to let the new regime make decisions based on what they, who they want, not based on, you know, demands or threats from somebody else, if it's even true. And I do respect Ian's reporting, but Garrett kind of refuted that. So who the heck knows what's going on? Here's what I know. Garrett Wilson, is 10th in, receptions, 4th in targets. Davante Adams, Jamar Chase, and another high-profile player are the only ones with more targets. Now, I know that it's dropped a lot since Davante Adams came here. I understand that. But there's also a connection to the Jets' time of possession, which is 25th in the NFL. What does it mean? If you don't have the football as much as other teams, you're not getting as many targets. I know that it's very messy, and I really like Garrett Wilson. But I'm with you. I don't think even on his best day he's ever going to be Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Well, he's not one of those guys.
Well, and the example I brought to you at dinner the other day was, has he ever done anything? And I like Garrett Wilson, but has he ever done anything that Malik Nabers did on Sunday?
Yeah, you did say that at dinner. And you know what? And what was my response? No. I don't see that.
Just taking over a game like that.
Like housing one from 40.
Yeah,
not really.
I'm not seeing that physical
ability.
Again, he's good.
He's very good.
And I think he could be better.
Me too.
But I don't watch Garrett Wilson and say, good God, that is a stud receiver, the way that you would see others, including Malik Nabers or the other guys that you just mentioned, take over a game. So room to grow, sure. Very good. Yeah, could he be great? Yes. I had higher hopes, and I just haven't seen it, and I don't think it's about the quarterback play.
But the thing that I really do like about him, and I'm not sure if Nabers is going to be this kind of player, is that I think Garrett Wilson's all about winning. I really do.
Where Nabers is more about.
Yeah,
Nabers.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I like it. You know, I love him. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like Garrett Wilson is a great culture guy. He's a great team guy, even these reports that he might want out. Like, I'm not saying that Nabers is not, but Nabers has had a couple of flare-ups where he said the wrong thing. And he's a young kid, so I'm not looking to bury him. And we've talked about this already, so I don't need to rehash it. But I think you do what you have to do to keep guys like Garrett Wilson in the building, not get rid of them.
I know, but I also am not going to bend over backwards and just give the keys of the franchise to a wide receiver who, in my mind, has been slightly disappointing.
Slightly disappointing is a little unfair.
Yeah.
Like I said, back to back, 1,000-yard receiver with a broken down Rodgers. You know, Timmy Boyle, Zach Wilson. Come on,
I said slightly disappointing.
Okay, slightly.
I thought he was going to be the stud.
All right. Well, like, we weren't working together when they drafted him. So I don't remember. When they got him in the draft, you're like, top five kind of guy?
The stuff that I read about him and the stuff that I saw, I thought he had superstar written all over him. And just watching him, not that he can't get there. I think he can. But he just hasn't been as good as I thought he would be. And I do think that there is some frustration and maybe some conflict with him and Rodgers personally. And Hard Knocks, it seemed like they were going to get along together very well.
Yeah.
And Rodgers was talking him up and talking about him like he was a stud. Mm-hmm. And then Rodgers gets hurt. And I don't think Wilson ever recovered. And then maybe he didn't like the personality eventually of Rodgers. I don't know. But I've heard some stuff and that we've seen some stuff. I don't think it's just about Davante Adams either. I don't think Garrett Wilson and Rodgers mesh personally.
Well, I think Garrett Wilson is sick of losing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if you don't think Rodgers is.
Yeah, he is too. But at least I think that Rodgers, I don't want to say that he's projected better amidst the losing, because Garrett's been stand up and classy as well.
Remember Rodgers was hanging out with Sauce early on?
They were at the Knick game.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, next to Jessica Alba, right?
Yeah, right, so they had those conversations.
Like, let me talk to her.
Yeah, right. Didn't have no idea who she was.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I know.
But then he was going to Broadway plays. I don't think Garrett Wilson was ever like a part of that. And I remember thinking at the time, I don't think. Now, again,
I think you're right. I think Conklin was there, Sauce.
Yeah, and whatever. It's not a huge deal. Yeah, one of the linemen, I think, was there. Salam, whatever. The point is, it's not a huge deal, but I felt like there was the excitement early on with Rodgers' arrival. And then shortly thereafter, it just never felt like Rodgers and Garrett Wilson were ever on the same page. And maybe that was part of the issue. Maybe it wasn't BT. Who the hell knows? But the results haven't been there. And even aside from their relationship or connection, I just don't feel like Garrett Wilson has proven to be the stud.
Would you trade him?
No, I would not.
Okay.
But I said the same thing about Jamal Adams. I'm not, which obviously would have been way wrong. Like, I'm not in the business, or I said it about Revis before that, which was right. Like, I'm not in the business of trading great players. I want to draft those players, develop those guys, and then keep them there. Now, the timeline could be awkward, I guess, but I would not worry about that. You have Garrett Wilson in-house. You know, Davante Adams is old and washed. They're probably going to move
on. I don't think he's washed. Yeah. Davante Adams can still play.
And by the way,
I don't think he's back this year. He can still play.
So why wouldn't Garrett Wilson look up to Davante Adams, who loves Rodgers?
Yeah.
And think
he might.
Okay.
He might.
But then why are we hearing like?
I think it's just a byproduct of too many times he's tried to, you know, force the ball to his boy, to his buddy.
Yeah.
And Garrett's like, yo, I'm open. Hit me up. I mean, I don't think it's more than that.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little bit selfish myself. All right, BT, it's Al on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mike is in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Happy New Year to both of you and
too.
The fams.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Now, BT, this is for you. Let me ask you a question.
Mm.
The Jets are 14-2, and Buffalo's 14-2, and the game is this weekend. You're going to the game, right?
Yeah. Hold on. Up in Buffalo or home?
Either or.
I'm not going up to Buffalo.
Right?
No, there's no way I'm going
come
up
on,
there. What
man.
The hell would I do that
come
for?
On,
no
Mike.
Way.
You wouldn't go to a – if the Jets are 14-2 and Buffalo 14-2
no.
And you had tickets to the game, you wouldn't go?
No, I'd watch the game on TV with my family. No.
Well,
I mean, I might go to MetLife. I'm not going to Buffalo.
Unless you get one of those trips.
But I'm
different. Cheese. Here we go.
What I'm really trying to get at, man,
yeah.
you got Gio in the morning saying he'll only get excited when it's when the Vikings are in the championship at home.
Okay, but I'm not sure if we're trying to compare levels of fandom to Gio. Number one, I think me and Greg are very different, and whatever excites him is what excites him. I'm not sure what you mean.
How can you not be excited?
I don't know. Ask him
for the championship this weekend.
What?
For home field advantage.
I did he say that he's not? I honestly
well, you
didn't,
call
I didn't,
him
I didn't
and,
care.
Yeah,
I mean,
thanks for the call, Mike. I don't even, come on. We're talking about two different things here. You're giving a hypothetical to BT if the Bills and Jets were 14-2.
Yeah, meanwhile, they got four wins. How am I supposed to wrap my brain around that today on January 2nd, man?
And there's a big difference, too, between going to a game. Like, just plenty of fans get beyond excited for the game without having to go to
yes.
it. Going to a game is a hassle.
I like watching the game on TV more. I've said that.
Yeah.
Now, I do love going to one or two playoff games, baseball.
Right.
That's different. I got to get to a World Series game. Every year I do that. I mean, not that they make the World Series every year, but every year I go to a playoff game, I want to feel that, right? Because I've
right.
been so invested
yeah.
in a long Yankee season. A little tougher to do Yankees and Mets, though I would like to. I couldn't do it this year. No, but to go to football, I went to the game. I went to the Rams game. I got dragged to it. Long story that I told you then. I didn't even really want to go. It's a pain in the ass going to a football game.
Forget about 12-4. You went to a 4-12 or 4-11 Jets
game. I just went
game.
To the mall instead.
What I will say is, not to defend Gio, because I don't even know the exact
No, I didn't hear that. I listened to them. I didn't hear that part.
But I'm going to assume that it was, like, when you get to a certain point in rooting for a team where they are in their process, whatever you want to say, like, there are certain expectations. Right now, for the Jets, it's been so bad that you'd be excited if they had a chance to be a playoff team.
Correct.
Whereas Gio with the Vikings, or I could relate to myself, like, when I was caring about the Falcons, like, once you experience getting to the Super Bowl and then losing the Super Bowl, certainly in the way Atlanta did, like, think about what it would take to get excited to get back to that. Now, a young quarterback maybe changes things with Penix. I'm sure Gio's excited for Darnold and the Vikings, but, like, he's not going to get really excited. He's seen playoff games before and playoff wins. He wants to see the next level. He wants to see NFC Championship at home and win this time, unlike 1998 where they got beat by Atlanta. Get to the Super Bowl. That's a long time ago, though.
That happened two years ago.
I understand, but the point is, you like the Vikings have been in the playoffs. They've had some good runs here.
I don't know.
Look, to each their own, but I'm assuming.
With different fans. Gio didn't want to take calls about Juan Soto.
Yeah.
We talked about Juan Soto for 37,000 straight days.
Right, it is different.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to dream about like, I wish. As a matter of fact, if the Jets or Giants were even in the mix for the postseason, there's no way you and I would have taken off.
We did the Thanksgiving Day Friday last year.
Because
we thought it might mean something. You get it, man?
The way the holidays fell, it was weird because it kind of was almost two full weeks. I came in and did the show with Mike's kids on Friday.
Yeah.
That was something special. It was a different thing. But had the Jets and Giants been relevant, we would have definitely worked the Fridays and Mondays around it. They're both toast. Like, it's been over for a while. I wish we were coming in today talking about the possibilities of playoffs for both the Jets and Giants this weekend. Geez.
Instead, it's like, who are we going to hire? What are we going to do? Who are we going to dress? Same conversation.
As always, Dave is in Smithtown. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Love the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Before I get to Woody, you know, the frustrating thing about being a sports fan, and I root for all the teams Joe Benigno roots for, in the past 25 years, they've all come close. Jets, 2 title games. Rangers, a Stanley Cup final. Mets, World Series, and NLCS this year. Mm-hmm. And they don't win. Like, if the Rangers won the Cup last year, I wouldn't care if they're playing crappy now. But as far as Woody is concerned, look, Woody's a horrible owner. Fine. Get rid of him. The whole thing with the...
But you can't,
But here's the problem. Let's say Woody Johnson sold the team to a guy like Stevie Cohen, right? Mm.
Oh, I'd become
a
Mets fan.
We all love it. But the problem is,
Dream Day on the fan here.
We still have to, even if he changed ownership, we still have to find the right GM and the right coach. And this, I know Mike Vrabel's out there, but there's not a lot of big-time candidates. And if Vrabel doesn't come here, I mean, we might have to go with someone that we don't know who the hell he is. So I understand you guys blaming Woody, but even if Dolan sold the Knicks and Rangers, I mean, are they going to be...
Think about this, Dave.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, no, thanks for the call. I think you're onto something, but I think you kind of take a turn. You get it lost a little bit. Yeah, it always comes out of hiring the right person. Clearly, like, finally, Dolan, you know, let Leon Rose cook and stayed out of his way. It's not that Woody Johnson hasn't identified, in my opinion, some capable men. It's that he's meddled once he's hired some capable men. Now, Idzik, not capable.
Right.
McCagnon, I mean, Idzik was the worst. McCagnon, not capable enough. Yeah, not enough, certainly. Joe Douglas, highly capable. But he got in his way. And there was bad circumstances, and they weren't as good as we thought. But, see, it's not just that they can't hire the right person. It's that even if they do, we might not know it because they get in the way. Or let me correct. He gets in the way.
Right, and for the record, I'm not blaming this season on Woody.
No, me neither.
Woody has gone out there, like, for all the faults, and there are a litany of them, he did go out there and give the Jet fans what they wanted. Like, nobody in the beginning of the year was ripping Woody for the roster that was assembled. Now, the head coach, different story, but certainly before Rodgers got hurt, everybody was excited about Rodgers and the structure of the team and all those different things and the draft picks and Joe Douglas. So obviously things went south, and I think Woody screwed some of that up, sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this is solely on Woody. There's a lot of reasons why the Jets have failed this year. The inner workings, though, that have been exposed, that's alarming, where you talk about the kids running things and meddling, to your point. Because if you hire Joe Douglas, who might be good, Woody getting in the way with certain things, that's going to negate the good hire in Joe Douglas, which is why he's got to hire established people and get the hell out of the way.
He's got to get out of the way, and I believe that I hope he will, and this goes back to what we said before with the Rossini piece in The Athletic before Christmas. Like, he's got to be so embarrassed and so publicly shamed by that article that the motivation, that's got to be the motivation for him to change. And if not, if that really doesn't serve as an impetus for him to wake up and change things, then I got news for you, Jets fans. It's never going to change, sadly. But let's also not forget who he bought the team from. Now, you know, rest in peace, Leon Hess was an awful owner. He was awful. Leon Hess was awful. I mean, yes, he threw us a Hail Mary, and it worked out by getting to the championship game in 98 when he hired Bill Parcells to come. What did he say? I don't want to be a horse's ass forever. Something like that was the quote attributed to Leon Hess, and a good, decent man.
Which is why Bill liked him.
Yes. And Leon didn't get in the way, wasn't meddlesome. Yeah. But Leon Hess's reign as the owner of the Jets was awful. So it's not just a Woody thing. It really, truly is a Jets thing.
So there was a caller last week who called and told us about this book about Woody Johnson, Crazy Rich. He actually sent it to us today, but I downloaded the Audible version and started listening to it actually before we went to dinner that night. I was just, for whatever reason, I was like bored as I was getting ready. I'm like, man, I got to listen to a book. Oh, let me listen to this book. Dude, I'm like maybe 30 minutes in. Like, you say, oh, maybe Woody will wake up and get it. And I know that we know this, it's not anything new, but when you actually hear it from other people, like, Woody Johnson is so filthy rich and was because of his family.
Oh, yeah.
That he is so far detached from reality. Like, He takes a helicopter to a dentist appointment.
Oh, God.
He's got his initials up on his dining room behind him, so much so where his cousin walks in for dinner one day and says, can you be any more out of touch than this bleep hole, whatever it may
his
be.
His initials?
Like, yeah, like my point is, and I'm not trying to pick on Woody Johnson, the person, I don't know him, but like, when he's not dealing with our reality.
I know.
So this is like a toy to him. Like, and he's trying to figure out, hey, I tried it this way with a young, new head coach and GM and young quarterback. I tried it this way with an old veteran quarterback, and maybe he'll get an experience head coaching. But like, Woody just, he's not dealing with the reality that we are dealing with. Whereas some owners are self-made billionaires.
Yes, and they can like Mark Cuban.
Yeah, well, whatever. Arthur
I'm just
Blank.
Throwing names out. Yeah, yeah, no, even, a lot of
Steve
them, sure.
Cohen. Like, I mean, yeah.
Born into money, Steinbrenner.
It's a different story. Yeah.
I mean,
George, that's what I mean,
starting with
right.
George.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're born into affluence like Woody was, and we should all be so lucky.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not mad at him. But you live by a different set of rules. That's just the reality of it. And if you're Woody Johnson, he's probably sitting there saying, what do these Jet fans want from me? What do these lunatics on WFAN, two bozos, what do they want from me? You know, you wanted the veteran quarterback, I got him. You want me to spend a lot of money, I do it. You want me to get the young coach, I do it. You want me to get a GM from a winning franchise like Joe Douglas, I do it. You want me to fire this guy, I do it. You want me to trade for Devontae Adams, I do it. You want me to trade for, we didn't want him to trade for, you know, Reddick and get rid of Huff, but in his mind he might think that we did. And he's like, I did it. I do. You want me to change uniforms? I do it. You want me to change the turf? I do. Like, he's probably thinking it's us.
I know. Well, of course.
Maybe
not now after it's been exposed and the majority of people are like, dude, just hire the right people and get the hell out of the way. Like, that's what ultimately we want.
Yes.
Hire somebody who knows what they're doing, and you and your kids go find another hobby.
Yeah.
Let them run the football business. Stop meddling in the football decisions.
Go become a scratch golfer in anonymity. Play twice a day. Hire the best instructor.
He's big into
and just go play golf every day.
I know this may sound obvious, but for somebody who has, like, I know nothing about politics or as little as you could possibly know. I just don't pay attention to it.
Yep.
He's big into politics. And I know because he was, what, the ambassador?
Yeah, after for Trump. Yep, first time. Yep.
Elected the first time.
Yep.
But he, even before that, I didn't realize how
very much so
deep.
He's contributed to question. Very deep.
So, like, that's a huge passion thing for him. And the Jets is kind of just like, I think it's just like a fun little hobby.
But the only thing that I'm going to push back on, I don't think you mean this, but when somebody says hobby, it almost trivializes their desire to win. Like, this is where I will, because of what he's tried. Now, nothing's worked, as we know.
I don't think he cares about it, though,
so do you think he wants to win because he wants to win, or do you think he wants to win because he wants people to stamp him? Hey, Woody,
So it's
getting to the winning, but it's a different motivation.
Well, and also, it's not necessarily his fault. It's just he doesn't know any better.
No,
like, when you come from a different place, it's hard. It's impossible to describe because I don't know that side. But he doesn't know this side.
Uh-huh.
And in this side, we care about these things. And we work hard to get things. For him, it's just like,
dude, he's walking around with ice. That says Woody.
He's living a totally
different
life. I like him,
but Woody, lose it, man. Hey, come on, dude. Bust out a little cross or a little chain, a little Figaro. Come on, dude.
What are you doing?
You're 80.
Let's talk about
70, whatever you are.
We'll continue with the calls when we come back. Let's talk about Enigma. We didn't get into it yet.
Yeah.
We both watched the Rodgers doc. I'd be curious to get your thoughts. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019. The number to call. We have a ton to get to today. Just scratching the surface here with the Jets this first hour so far. We'll continue with the calls. But we didn't talk about last week. Or 2 weeks ago, whenever we were back, BT, before we left, the Enigma series, whatever you want to call it, the show on Netflix about Aaron Rodgers. We did text about it, though, off the air. I watched it. I loved it. I don't know if would you say that I've been a bigger fan of Rodgers personally than you?
I think you probably have verbalized it a little bit more, but I've always liked Rodgers.
And did you read the book? Remember we had
excerpts.
You know, okay.
I still have it in my office. I've jumped through some certain stuff.
Now, I liked Rodgers before this. I read the book or listened to the book from Ian O'Connor, loved him even more. And then I watched Enigma, and it kind of solidified what I thought. I thought you got a good look into Aaron Rodgers, the person. Would you come away with from that?
I like him even more than I used to. I think that Aaron Rodgers, not for everybody, I get that. He's very eclectic. Some of the things he does and even said this are viewed as alternative lifestyle. things, whether it's religion, whether it's medicinal purposes. I like Rodgers. Now, the one thing, and I don't know that I needed to see this, and I don't even know if I, on some level, maybe thought that I needed to see this and really didn't. I don't know, but when it was presented to me during Enigma, it hit me in a good spot. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Like, when you watch somebody from a distance, like we did Rodgers all those years, be an all-time legend, and then he comes here, you know, there was a thought because nobody really probably wanted him based on the age, and he wasn't great the last season in Green Bay. I think a lot of people thought that he was using the Jets like, all right, the Jets are desperate. I've got the New York stage. I can increase my brand, whatever that might be. And they're a bunch of suckers. They need a quarterback. Let me take advantage of them. Let me go to the Jets, right? And I don't know that I really believe that, but I do think that some and some did. And when I saw him rehabbing, like the other stuff was interesting, don't get me wrong. But when I saw him rehabbing, and I know that it's three series and he can piece together a Rocky montage from us, hell, at this age still.
Yeah, right.
And drop a soundtrack to it. It's going to look inspiring. I was really moved, and I think it reminded me how much he loves football.
Bingo. He loves the game. And that's something that last year he was almost made fun of for.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are like, oh, he wants to come back. It's all about the attention. No, he wants to play.
Yep.
If you paid attention over the years, you could see that. And that's why I don't think he's going to retire. I think that he's going to take his time. And even that, he said the right thing. Like,
yes.
I'm too close to it right now. I can't make a decision where I'm fatigued mentally. I'm beat up. All the rehab, which, by the way, I thought was an excellent point that I never even thought about before. The rehab all last season into the offseason to get ready for this year took a toll on him. And at his age, like, that's a lot to
ask. Well, he never had a natural respite.
Yeah, right. So it's a lot to ask of a player at that age to then just come back and have a terrific season again. So he's going to get a little bit of a breather after Sunday and take some time away now. And he also acknowledges that the Jets are not going to be on that same timeline. Like, the Jets probably going to make a decision a little bit sooner, but Rodgers may want to play. Now, what suitors have out there, who the hell knows? But yes, that's why I love Rodgers, because he loves the game. He wants to play. He wants to win. He's been like that forever.
I mean, just going from high school and being overlooked and having to go to a junior college. You know, I mean, it's, you know, Peyton Manning, first overall pick. And, you know, even Montana was a middle round pick. But he played at Notre Dame. And Tom Brady, barely drafted. Got a full ride to Michigan. Like, this guy had to go to a junior college that nobody really knew about. And he was just amazing. He's an amazing player. Unfortunately for a Jet fan, you got him too late. Listen, I know a lot of people don't like Rodgers, but I do want to read one thing, not from the Enigma, but for the press conference. Yeah. It's pretty quick. He said he was asked to reflect on the last 2 years. Now, you and I basically started the show reflecting on these last 2 years. Here's his reflection, what it means to him. He says, quote, "And if you still don't like him after this, that's okay. That's up to you. I mean, gratitude, quote, honestly, it's been the best 2 years of my life. Now, that's a perspective adjustment that happened at some point during the rehab process last year. Just the excitement, falling back in love with the game, getting to know these guys in here, getting to know how great the men and women that work here are. It's been a lot of fun. Obviously, on the field, it's been very short of expectations, no doubt. This game is more than just that. This game is also about relationships," end quote. If you strip away the Kennedy connection for some of you, which obviously bothers you, the 100%. Immunization or the
100%.
Like, if you just judge him on what he says and really what he does, Aaron Rodgers is a good dude, man.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says.
Who gets it and is comfortable with himself. I've never done, like, drugs in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, thank God, you.
Yeah, well, I know.
Pop, imagine this guy on drugs. Imagine this guy took shrooms.
So oh, then why would I love a person who's doing ayahuasca or whatever?
Yeah,
because he's, like, to me, that's foreign, beyond foreign, but he's doing it himself, and he's comfortable in his own skin to do it. The darkness retreats. Like, I'd never do something like that myself, but the fact that he wants to do it, I don't think he's doing it for attention. I think he's doing it because he wants to push himself to certain limits, which I respect that he's doing that. All those things that he puts himself out there for that other people are like, oh, what a lunatic. Oh, what a nut job, this and that.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with it, but that's him. And he's comfortable enough to put it out there. I've always respected that and loved that about Aaron Rodgers.
You know, listen, I think that speaking for myself here, I'm certainly not going to overstate it. I think I'm fairly intellectually curious.
Right.
Like, I like to follow politics. I like to follow the economy. I like to, you know, world travel and geography. I'm not saying I'm brilliant. I'm certainly not. But I'm fairly intellectually curious. But I like to read, not intellectually curious enough to follow some of the things that he follows. Yeah. Okay, medicine that goes back thousands of years, or art that goes back thousands. Like, that just, some civilizations, like, I don't have the bandwidth to pursue that. I admit that. I don't. But he does. And I'm not going to shame him for that. I mean, gee, now, he's not married. He doesn't have any children to tend to. And when you have that much free time, it's a little bit easier to do that, to go out and pursue different aspects of life. But I'll tell you what, watching that, now, that I'm never going to the depths that I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the interest to do it. But I'll tell you what, watching the documentary, I remember saying to myself, and this is definitely one of my resolutions without getting too personal, there are things that I want to change about me, honestly, as a person, as a man, as a husband, as a father, all right? And I'm going to pursue it differently, but that opened up a little part of my brain that I did not know would be opened up prior to watching that.
I love that you said that, because I do think if people actually went in to whatever, reading the book from Ian O'Connor, watching Enigma, listening to Rogers, if they went in with open mind, you can learn from him. And I have, even little things you take from certain things. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Actually, there was one point, and this is something stupid, but I used to wear big, bulky headphones.
No, I remember when you used to wear the white ones. Yeah, I remember seeing those.
I loved hearing myself loud, and I just felt like I was on whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it was during Hard Knocks, and I was watching him, and he was ripping on one of his teammates. And I'm like, oh, you wear those things? They're no good for your ears. Like, keeping all this, just something like that. And it made me change. Now, that's a little thing. It's not going to educate
anybody.
Yeah, but
he's probably done the research to actually prove that, you know,
And it actually does make sense. Like, why would you have those big, loud things keeping sound in? It's not good for years. Anyway, point is, Rogers is a smart dude. I'm not saying, like, he's the smartest guy in the room.
No, he is a smart guy.
Well, very smart. But yes, you could, if you open your mind to it, instead of just being like, oh, he's different than I am, he's weird and doing it for attention. No. Listen to him and you will learn. Now, with all that being said, we care about how he performs on the football field. I still believe in him. I still believe in his heart. I still believe in his passion, his desire. And while I know that his ability, certainly this year, was nowhere near what you would expect, maybe it was in part because of the injury leading into the rehab.
Yep.
No real break coming right in the year. The age, yes, but I would give him, I think Rodgers, wherever he goes, will be an asset. I would give him one more chance if I'm the Jets.
Well, it came across in the documentary. He's definitely more open to being a bit of a mentor. He spoke about that with Jordan Love, and obviously went out to Hattiesburg to see Brett Favre. Really, honestly, if you guys have, even if you hate Rodgers going into it, very interesting.
How about the way Favre treated him?
Like in distant.
And then he made sure, and even though he acknowledged, he still has a good relationship with Favre, but he acknowledged that it wasn't great, but still also like understanding why Favre maybe felt like that. But he learned from it and was better to Jordan Love
and Zach Wilson
because of that. And Zach Wilson.
Agreed, 100%. So I think that for me, this is what I said before break, I'm going to let the new regime make the determination. I'm not going to clamor and scream and shout, I want Rodgers back. And I'm not going to do the opposite. I'm going to see what kind of offense they're going to try to install, who the coach is. I think that he's smart enough to know, and he's humbled enough to know at this point, Rodgers, that even if he is back, he's going to have no juice in the decision-making process. I understand that. You know, listen, before the game against the Buffalo Bills last week, which was just atrocious by everybody, 16 penalties for 120 yards. He fumbled. I mean, he missed the tight end, Yaboa, when he threw it in his shoes, and he probably could have run it or had a wide-open touch. He did not play well that game. But before that game, in the previous eight, Aaron Rodgers threw 14 touchdowns and had one interception. You could go, now I don't know this to be 100% true, but I would almost venture to guarantee whether it's Todd, whether it's Vinny, whether it's Chad, even, you know, Fitzpatrick, who had a very good statistical year back in 2015. Take any Jet quarterback. I don't think anybody put up in eight games, 14 touchdowns and one pick. So as, quote unquote, as bad as he's been this year, has he really been that bad?
No.
Yeah, just no.
And he's got something to prove. I understand why people would want to move on. I understand why the Jets might.
Yeah.
For me, I'm giving it one more go with a real head coach.
Yep.
Seeing if Rodgers has one more good year left in the tank.
To the point where you'd be disappointed if he's not back? Because you heard what I'd say. Like, if the new regime doesn't want him, I'm okay with that.
Well, disappointed is different than yelling and screaming the other way. Like, I want him back, but if they let him go, I can't kick and scream and say you made a huge mistake. I do think it would be a mistake. Now, remember, I do want him back under the circumstance that he's going to mentor the next quarterback. And we haven't even talked about it. We get to the Giants and bring them into the conversation as well next. But the Jets might be having a top pick to a point where they could start thinking about trading up or taking a quarterback. And I want Rodgers to be the mentor to that next quarterback, thinking that you could win some games with him next year, maybe make the playoffs, while also building for the future.